Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, the fifth day within the octave of the Nativity of the Lord. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The living Word that was God in Christ was made flesh. He is the Word of God. He is God, and he walked among us. He lived just as we did. He accepted limitations that flesh put on him, though he still did many miracles. He received the taunts and the hatred and the eventual murderous acts of a people who were threatened, jealous, envious, fearful. Where do those things plague us? We can point and say, oh my goodness, look what they did, how stupid they were. But how often are we blinded and deafened by our own desires, by our own sins, so that we can no longer really see the truth? It's a sober message in the middle of a delightful, glorious season. I want you to celebrate, but I want you to take time every day to take stock of your life, at least in some area. Take stock of your life at work. Take stock of your life in your family. That's the first and most important. Take stock in life with your friends. Am I living according to the gospel or not? As we come to the end of this year, we really need to take stock, brothers and sisters. It can't be business as usual. It just is not. We don't have time for that. We really don't have time for business as usual. We need to take a serious inventory. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. Beloved, the way that we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. There you are. It's that simple. The way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. Why? Because those commandments are what help us to be like him, to take on his priorities. They're not just a list of commandments, you do these things and we'll have peace and order. Those commandments are intended to be so that we become like him. So it's not just some external action we do or refrain from. It's the whole orientation of our lives that are expressed practically in a certain way in the Ten Commandments. Love those Ten Commandments. I spend some time for about a year actually kissing the page on the Bible that listed the Ten Commandments. I wanted to grow and love them because they weren't means by which God grades you. They were means by which I could come into union with God himself. So it says, beloved, the way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you really? Only you know that, but we need to ask ourselves that question. Am I really Christian? You remember that saying long ago that could become more reality now than ever. If I were arrested for being a Christian, would I be found guilty? If I were arrested for being a Christian, would I be found guilty? Very, very important question to answer, and each of us has to answer it by ourselves. Whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. This is the way we may know that we are in union with him. Whoever claims to abide in him ought to walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am writing no new commandment to you, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard, and yet I do write a new commandment to you, which holds true in him and among you. For the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light yet hates his brother is still in the darkness. You see, he's coming at this from a number of angles. You can't just glibly say, yes, I'm a Christian, I keep all the commandments, and yes, I walk in the light and not in darkness. Do you? Do you? That's why John says, whoever says he is in the light yet hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a fall. Whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. When we refuse to forgive, when we refuse to act according to God's ways, we do become deaf and blind. We don't think so. We think we're very smart. We think we're very modern. We're right up there. We're just making all these decisions to let go of this. And that's nothing but fairy tales and nothing but child stories. It's just ways to keep you in the church. It isn't any of that. It's God. God's order. It's God's plan. Are you going to accept it or reject it? If you accept it, you will know life and light. If you reject it, you could end up in hell or a very long time in purgatory. Somebody said to me once, well, I'll take my chances. Oh, talk about arrogance. I'll take my chances. No, no, doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Whoever says he is in the light yet hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a fall. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness. He walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's what we don't see because we don't have eyes to see. If we chose to reject the Lord, we walk in darkness. We label what Christians believe, we label them as though they're fanatics. They're stupid. I've heard all of that. It's not true. They are the wise ones of the earth. And everyone is issued an invitation to come and join them. The world will not like you. The world will call you fool. The kingdom of heaven will welcome you forever. Don't walk in the darkness. Psalm 96, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. That's what we want to do. And we do it by our lives. Our lives of holiness, by our lives of generosity, by our lives of caring for those in need, by putting others before ourselves, by working for unity in the family, at work, among friends, working for unity and peace, striving to follow the Lord more closely. Those are the things we want to mark us, to define us. Do they define you? Do they define you? You know, the world says, well, New Year's Day, New Year's resolutions, and we usually forget them a week afterwards. What are you going to decide in this Christmas season that you are either going to forsake or that you're going to embrace? Some things you give up, some things you embrace. Don't just do one or the other. They go together. If I give up this, then what am I taking? What am I receiving? How am I going to follow the Lord more closely? Don't leave a vacuum. Just giving up something is not enough. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. They were obeying the law. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. Brothers and sisters, you read the scripture. He had been in the temple years, watching, waiting, hoping. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. In other words, he was inspired. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Now I can die. How did he know? How did he know that was the Christ child? By living a life obedient to God, by seeking God, by following God, by rejecting sin, expressing sorrow and contrition. He was an upright man. Brothers and sisters, you can be that too. And when you do, the scales will fall from your eyes. You'll see things differently. You have different priorities. Simeon was able to recognize the Christ child. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. Here's Simeon, just ecstatic. And it says the child's mother and father were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword shall pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Jesus' coming on this earth clearly showed those who were worshipers of God and those who were not. But it also showed very clearly who were false worshipers. In other words, they were worshiping for their own benefit. They were doing all the right things, but they were looking for prestige and place and honor and position. They were the scholars of the law. Because of their pride, they were blind to the Messiah. And here's Simeon, who simply was called righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, awaiting the Messiah. His whole life was oriented. He didn't know when the Messiah would come. For thousands of years, people had cried out for the Messiah. But he did what he was called to do. He chose God's priorities over his own. He made his life a reflection of his Savior, even though he hadn't met the Savior yet. The prophets had foretold his coming. And those who were caught up in the law and doing all the right things and having positions of title and honor totally missed it. You really can be blinded and deafened, brothers and sisters, by sin, especially in this case by arrogance, by pride. If those things blind and deafen you, or at least if you can believe me enough to acknowledge that perhaps they do, ask God to show you, to reveal to you your pride and your arrogance. If he reveals it to you and you accept the call to conversion, it will be the most glorious season of your life. May God bless you all. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.